Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, it's such an honor to be a part of a church family that really does include all people. When you hear us talk about that over and over again, it means all people, no matter what people are facing. Over 50% of this facility is dedicated to the next generation. And we have a wonderful group of people that are so deeply committed to families with children with special needs of any kind. And we call that class Endless Possibilities. And I'll tell you, it's remarkable what occurs in that room by God's presence and God's people. Just an amazing place to be where God's love is profoundly available to everybody. And you hear us say it over and over again, and you're going to hear it over and over again, because it is my desire, it is my calling as a pastor, and my heart's desperate for you to experience this, that we really do exist to help all people, realize that God loves them unconditionally. We really do. And it's also important that you understand that in that context, we desire that there are four things that become a reality in your life. We can call those the big four. Knowing God here through knowing God, finding freedom in your life, discovering purpose and making an impact with your life. Everything we do here at Victory, and I mean everything, filters through that lens. Does it help people understand that God loves them unconditionally? Is our culture that way? Is the way we treat people that way? Not just people that call themselves Christians, all people. And then everything we do, and listen to me, please, I say everything we do is designed to help people come to know God, and then not just know Him, but find freedom in their life, and then discover the purpose that God put them on the earth, and through that purpose, make an impact with their life. This series that we're teaching now is called All People. And I know that so often we hear of what God does for others, and you hear, wow, God used someone a certain way. My hope today is to leave you with a simple message of how God actually wants to do something amazing in and through your life. And then at the end of the service, as we worship together, that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can actually speak to you individually, because He's alive and He wants to do that. Because you understand this, walking with God and experiencing His love, experiencing His power in your everyday life, it really is for all people. There are no special people that God favors more than others. There aren't. Now, you may not actually think that, well, I don't think that He does, but sometimes we actually don't, maybe not cognitively think it, but we believe that. But His love, His grace, His power, it's available for all people. Every person, this power is available for every person. There are no exceptions. And what keeps us back from walking with God is that we don't understand the aspect of His desire to love, to care for, to release, and to bring freedom to all people. Most people define their relationship with God not from His love toward them, but their failures or the things that have happened to them. Most people, even Christians, live their whole life under the shadow of shame. Shame says there's something wrong with me. Hey, listen, it's okay if you feel badly about an event or something you did wrong or something that was done wrong to you. That's okay to process that and go through the difficulty of, even loss and grief. Those are all normal things. But those are things that are happening to us. They don't define us. Shame says there's something innately wrong with you. There's something innately less than in you that would make God recoil from you or other people recoil from you. That's why the environment of God's kingdom should be a place where the unconditional love is brought to every human being. I don't care if they love God or if they don't. Because it's only in the environment of the unconditional love of God that you're going to experience what He has for you. We're stepping into, this is day 7 of 21 days of fasting and prayer. When you hear that, you might be a person that entered in, or you might be a person, I'm not ready for that kind of spiritual movement yet. Listen, you're ready. No, I know you don't know me, Pastor John, I'm not ready. Listen, you're ready. How do I know you're ready? Let me tell you how I know. Because you have a pulse. You breathe. You see, sometimes we think the things that God wants to do in our life are down the road, and we actually will put them off. I don't want you to do that. Because this 21 days of fasting and prayer, if you don't understand why you do it, then most people won't do it. I mean, why do I pray? I mean, come on. I mean, God, you know what you want to do. Get at it. What do you need me to bother you with it? God, are you really impressed when I don't eat? Do you really need me to be hungry? See, Jesus taught us about fasting and prayer. In fact, it shows us how most people misunderstand God in this environment. There was a man whose son was possessed of an evil spirit. And by the way, demons are real. You don't have to be afraid of them. Jesus overcame, but they're real. So I'm too educated for that. You're too educated. You know there's an unseen world. And you say, I don't believe in it. When you die, you'll find out there is one. Find out now. And there was a boy, and this demon would tear the child when it was around water and fire to destroy the child, to drown the child, or to burn the child. And this father was just devastated. So he brought the boy to Jesus' disciples, and 9 of the 12 prayed for the boy, and nothing happened. You know, if we saw that happen today, most people would conclude, I guess God, it wasn't God's will to help the boy. Because 9 of his disciples prayed, and nothing happened. They couldn't deal with that present evil. They had no power over it. The father was relentless. When Jesus came down from the mountain, he went to the father and he said, listen, my son, and he told the story. The spirit tears him and he goes into water to drown and fires to be burned. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't get him free. And you know what Jesus said? He didn't say, well, you know, you never know about the will of God. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. He said, bring the boy to me. And then he said this. This is the reason why they were powerless to overcome the evil in this world. He said, this is a perverse generation that does not trust me. Jesus said the reason that we don't overcome the evil in our lives very often. He said, because we are trapped in a place where this world, the perverseness of the world, the word perverse, where we get our word pervert, as well as in the Greek, when you study it out, it simply means this, a crooked path adopted as straight. He said, you live in a generation that they make crooked paths and pretend they're straight. And it's influenced you so much so that it's disconnected you from trusting me. And then Jesus made this statement after he delivered the boy, and he did. He said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Why the prayer and fasting? Because prayer connects you to God. Fasting disconnects you from a crooked and perverse world. All of us live in a human body. This is a temporary house you live in. Fasting helps you understand that this temporary house is what usually will dominate your entire life if you don't know how to shut it down. The scripture actually says, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Well, who's the I? The real you is a spirit being possessing a soul living in a temporary body. Fasting, and I want to encourage you to join us. In fact, every morning at 6 a.m., Monday through Friday, we meet here to pray. I'll be here tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And if you can't come, you can go online. And it's available all day long for 24 hours. And you can join it and process that prayer time with us. Just we can show you how to do it. Every person can pray. Every person can fast. There's different ways to fast. I'll tell you what I'm doing. You don't need to do this. For me to shut my body down, for me to tell my body to recognize I've got one that's trying to control me, I juice in the morning, I juice at night, and I eat a reasonable lunch. And I can tell you about 6 o'clock every night, I find out I have a body. It screams to me, what are you doing to me? You're evil. Friday night, we had about 35 young men and women in our house from here at Victory, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and we were talking to them about their leadership of capacities and taking this church into the future. Right now, they leading right now. And they're amazing young men and women, amazing. But, you know, they're having folks to our house. We catered Moe's in. Welcome to Moe's. My body said, no juice for you, big boy. You're welcoming the most tonight. See, fasting helps you disconnect from the world. So for me, I'm laying aside any social media unnecessary that I don't do for what I do here. Watching virtually no television. You just find out you have a body. Here, what I'm trying to show you is the simple principle of understanding that something happens in the unseen realm when you fast and pray. In fact, let me make a statement to you that I'm going to say over and over again today that I really want you to grasp, is that physical obedience releases spiritual power from God. Physical obedience releases spiritual power from God. Not just, Lord, my good intentions, or, Lord, you know my heart, Lord. There is a place where you act and obey God physically. And I want you to see today how it actually releases physical power from God. There was a time in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were coming under attack when they were in the wilderness from the Amalekites. And God gave Moses instruction. He said, you go to the top of Mount Moriah and you overlook the valley where the battle will be. And while you're there, I want you to lift your hands, take the rod that I've given you that you carry. And I want you to lift your hands and hold it above your head. And the scripture said, as long as Moses held it above his head, they won the battle. But when his arms grew weary, they began to lose. It literally shows you, and I'm going to take a moment, just a few minutes here, and show you how your physical obedience actually actually releases angelic influence in your life. The angels of God were literally working to win that battle. Incredible. But Moses, when he grew weary and moved outside of physical obedience, it stopped. And Aaron and Hur, who were with him, this is why it's so important that you understand you cannot win life's battles alone. You were not made to win alone. You were not made to do life alone. That's why small groups should not be an option. It is critical. Aaron and Hur they sat him on a rock, and then they held his arms up. And as long as they did that, Israel won, and ultimately Joshua and those in the battle defeated the Amalekites. There's a lot of Amalekites trying to come against you and to come against me in my life. But we have to make a decision. Are we going to look and esteem and humble ourselves before God and simply physically obey him or not? Because the reality of it is there are natural solutions and there are God solutions. And if you're not careful, you'll live your whole life. I'll live my whole life only trying to solve issues with my own power. It's so critically important. We have to more highly esteem God's view and God's decision-making than mine. That's a place of humility. Last week when we were here in the morning praying, these words came up in my heart and the Holy Spirit was just teaching me. And it was so real to me, and it fits perfectly with what we're saying. And he spoke these words to my heart. We must redefine success as obedience to God. We must redefine success as obedience to God. Because the world around us has defined success in a lot of ways, and none of which are permanent, by the way. The wealthiest of the wealthy, when they die like the poorest of the poor. There are no U-Hauls behind hearses. It's just the person. That's all it is. This life, it goes so fast. Now, it's not that God doesn't want to help us, bless us, to cause us to live a purposeful life, a successful life, even in this realm. But that's not what God defines as success. People will come to me because of the growth of this church and the influence of what you have done in serving God in this place. And they'll basically speak to me as if I've achieved a level of success. And even will exclude you from others and say, well, you're this successful, so you shouldn't be with it. No, there are no great people. There's only a great God. Amen. You see, success isn't this. Success is obeying God in my life. Because if you would have seen in the earlier days, you would have never called me successful. But obedience is defined as success. I lived in poverty until my probably mid-30s. I was well below the poverty line. And there were years that I think poor people were praying for me. I'm just being honest with you. I was traveling in churches, and when you hear traveling and speaking in churches, you can get an image of, wow, he was speaking. No. These are churches of 30, 40, 50, 60 people. Every once in a while, I'd speak in a church that was larger than that. For the most part, they were always under 100 people. Most of them don't even exist today. And I would go to these churches, and they didn't have anything to bless me with, and I didn't have anything, but I'd go, and if you were watching me do that through my 20s, you would have said, what are you doing? One year, I mean, when I was in the beginning of it, I didn't have any money. I mean, I didn't have any money. And I would be far enough away because of the sporadic nature of when I would speak. The only way I couldn't afford it, I'd sleep in my car. I slept in my car for a year. If you saw me sleeping in my car in a truck stop, you would never have looked at that kid and said, that kid's a success. You'd have said, that bonehead's asleep in a car. I went to truck stops and showered. On my way to speak in churches, I would stop at a rest area. And I would go in and bring an ironing board and an iron and iron my clothes. And you know, I'm a guy, guys will understand this. I couldn't care less what anyone thinks, so I'm standing in my underwear. And guys are walking in the rest area. Now, if you do that, if you're a woman, women will go like, oh, sweet babe, what's up? You okay? Men are like, oh, God have mercy. They'd run. I had people turn around, you know. I was speaking at a church in this tiny little church, and the pastor called me the night before. He said, John, he said, I'm just heartbroken, but the church is a year or two old. He said, everybody who was coming, I mean everybody, their leader called and said, none of us are coming. He said, there's no one coming tomorrow but me. He said, so I'm sorry. I said, no, wait a minute. Do you, that little room you rented, I said, do you still have that? He said, yeah, it's paid for. I said, then you show up tomorrow. We are going to have a service, you and me. And we went there, we worshiped God together, and I said, sit down. And I shared, and I spoke the word of God to him no differently than I'm doing today. If you would have watched me do that, you would have said, really? See, success is not defined externally. But can I tell you this? Obedience is what produces something like this. It opens the door to spiritual power. And that's why physical obedience is so important in my life, in your life. Do you know that physical obedience actually releases angelic influence on your behalf? Do you know every one of you have an angel? Do you know Jesus said that? That children have an angel that is before God in his presence on their behalf continually? And do you know there's nowhere in the Bible that says that angel goes away when you turn 21? But do you know there are things that you can do that angel will go to work on your behalf, and things that you can do will do that you will limit it? Do you know Hebrews tells us this about the angels? Listen, because people say, hey, when so-and-so died, they became an angel. No, they didn't. They were angels are angels, you are you. When you go to heaven, you'll be you, and angels will be angels. You don't morph into one. It's important. Hebrews 1:14 said, are not all angels, he said, God said, are not all angels ministering spirits, now listen, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Do you realize angelic beings are there to serve you and me who have inherited salvation? In that same chapter, in verse 7, he said, God said regarding the angels, he sends his angels like the winds. He sends the angel, the servant, like the flame of fire. I want you to understand that physical obedience actually releases angelic work in your life. And you can see it throughout the Bible. I don't have time to go into all of the cases. You can see it in the life of Daniel. You could see it throughout the Bible. You just saw it in the life of Moses. Many years ago, when we were living as missionaries in Africa, and we were traveling through Zambia, we had this old Land Cruiser. And back then, Zambia had just come out of communism, and the road systems were gone between towns. There'd be a road, and then it would, well, I don't mean potholes, the road is gone. And so we're driving at night, and if you know the nature of Zambia, there is no pulling over. You drive till you get to the place you're going. There is nowhere to stop. And so, particularly then, it's changed a lot now in the last 25 years or so. But then it was not, the infrastructure was gone. It beat that car so much driving that both headlights disconnected. And we're in it's the middle of the night. It's like probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. We're driving. And we had a spot that you would like to spot deer with. By the way, you can spot some cool things in Africa, just so you know. No, so listen, you ever been driving and seen an elephant? Now that's something. You don't want to hit an elephant. So, you know, you drive on the other side of the road there. So I'm actually driving, holding the spotlight outside the window, driving. We're driving along and we come up and what they would do, if you drove a semi-truck and your truck broke down, they would come offload your stuff onto a new truck and leave the trailer right in the middle of the road. And it just stayed there. and people would either go around it or hit it. Well, when you have this little spotlight, we're driving along, and when I tell you we didn't see it until we were on it, we didn't have enough time for any of us to even gasp and go, ah! It was in front of us, and we were there, and we are about to hit a trailer where we would have went under it. It didn't have any of the bars there that you have that are required in the U.S., and it would have decapitated us without question. We didn't have time to pray. All I can tell you is that before we could utter anything out of our mouth, the next thing we know, we are on the other side of it. And I can tell you this. You say, how did that happen? With all my heart, I don't know how an angel did it, but it moved us. You say, well, I don't believe that. I am so glad you weren't in the car. Angelic influence at work on your behalf. Physical obedience. Physical obedience. This is what the Bible says about the angels in you. I want you to see how it's connected to physical obedience. Psalms 34, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord encamps. Everyone say encamps. It means he's around, man. He encamps around those who fear him. And he, that angel, will deliver you. What does it mean to fear God? Is he saying afraid of God like a kid's afraid of the dark? Or like you might be afraid of snakes or spiders? No. The word fear is to reverence, to esteem more highly than yourself, to honor, to revere. It would be like if you were meeting the King of England or the Queen of England, and there's a protocol to meeting the Queen of England. And you would go in and you want to meet the protocol because I'm going to reverence that position, not the person. He said, when you fear and reverence me, my angel encamps around about you to bring deliverance into your life. Physical obedience releases power from God. And I think when I pray, and just the other day, I told Michelle, I've been asking the Lord this question. Lord, how many things have I not experienced from you because of what you actually call pride? And that I would have just thought was my own reasoning, just my own way, just, you know, because I'm going to do my way. Listen to what he said in the book of James about receiving the empowerment that comes only from God. James 4:6, he said, but he, God, gives us more grace. Everyone say more grace. More grace. Now remember, grace is divine ability that you cannot do without God. This is God's ability, not yours. That's why the scripture said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace or divine ability to the humble. God resists the proud. Now, what are the proud and what are the humble? Now, if God is resisting something, and then on the other side of that coin, he is giving divine ability to something else, I want to understand what that is. That's why I want you to understand that physical obedience is an act of humility. Fasting and praying, because Jesus said do it, is an act of humility. It's not a good time for me. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's pride? Pride is when I exalt something above anything. That's all pride means. Pride isn't someone who just walks around with their nose up in the air, I'm better than you. That's a form of pride. But Bible pride that he's talking about here is when you exalt something above what God says. When, as he said, the reason you fast is because it's so easy to let a crooked and perverse generation dictate what you do with your life and tell you how to live. Do you know that God says in his word that we as believers, as the end nears, as evil abounds in the earth, that we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some has become? And all the more so when you see the day of Christ's return approaching, Christians should come together. You know, we live in an age today over the last 10 years that the attendance habits in church of Christians have so changed. They may come once every third or fourth week because it's optional. I'm busy. And yet God says I'm first. Coming to church isn't something you do to punch a ticket. Coming to church is because God said, you gather together, you're part of my body. I want you together, and I want you to put me first in your week. And I want you to train your children to put me first in their week. And I don't want anything around you to be more important than me unless you want to be on your own. You see, you can't resist God's instruction and deny the physical obedience attached to it and then expect to receive divine grace. Grace is, listen, you cannot earn the grace of God, but God's grace is not unconditional. God doesn't resist the proud because he's angry. God resists the proud because he trusts you. He honors you. If you choose this and you push back, he resists the proud. You can do it your way. Or you can experience his power. It's an amazing thing to live this way. Physical obedience releases spiritual power. We're about to jump into small groups. I want to encourage every one of you to humble yourself before God and realize that you will not win life battles on your own. You won't. Yeah, I'm strong. No, you're not. You think you are. Moses was a pretty strong guy. God used him greatly, but he was weakened and he needed help. We're about to launch small groups. Every one of us. That's not a good time for me. Make it a good time for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Physical obedience brings spiritual reward. We have to redefine what is success in our life as obedience to God. Get in a small group, lead a small group, join a small group. They're 8 weeks long. That's it. I'm too busy to give God 8 weeks. You're way too busy. Well, give me a couple years and I'll get let me get my life together. Let me figure out how to get through life on my own. Let me use my own brain, my own resources, my own ways. And God, when I get enough, you know, put together and I feel, then I'll kind of let you in. He's not a cafeteria God. He's not, I'll take a piece of you here and a piece of you there. He's first. And that's not a condemnation thing. That's a privilege thing. You know, in small groups, three things happen. They're a place to connect, they're a place to protect, and they're a place to grow. You're designed by God to connect to one another. We are designed by God to connect to one another because he calls us a body of believers. That's why I want to be very careful, be very cautious what you read and what you listen to. I constantly see things online, 20 reasons why the church is no longer necessary and 15 wrong things wrong with the church. And why the... Do you understand the church is the bride of Christ? Don't be reading stuff from some dude or woman, some guy sitting in his basement writing about you really in his underwear. You're gonna follow that. Do you know that you are called the bride of Christ? And when people speak against God's church, and I don't mean a building, I mean his people and the coming together of his people. Because we are body, the body of Christ, members in particular. They're talking against his bride. It's like saying, Pastor John, I love you, but you know Michelle, she's a pig. Let me give you 20 reasons why your wife's a pig. How many of you know you and I aren't going to get along real well? Don't talk about his bride that way. It's his body you're talking about. It's like somebody coming up to you and say, I really dig you. Your head is, you know, I really like you, but the rest of you, I just wish you'd die. Leave me alone. I don't need you. It's very important that we understand that what this does is it makes you understand that we're all equal before God. There are no better or worse people. We're just people. Small groups are a place where you can connect. They're a place where you can protect as well. The Bible said when one part of your body suffers, the whole body suffers. I stub my toe, my other body parts just don't go, never mind. The whole body stops, doesn't it? You break your ankle, your whole body will make up for that broken place. Small groups are a place where you can be protected, where people can serve you in your weakness, like Moses was served in his weakness, even encouraging him and enabling him to obey God in your life. I don't need people. I'm my own kind of person. That's like my elbow saying, hey, let me out of the body. I'll be a great person on my own. An elbow alone is messed up. You don't really want one of those just out there by themselves. You have beautiful eyes. Pop them on out of your head and put them on a plate. Look how they aren't pretty at that point. They're beautiful in the context of the body. Separated from the body, they die. Small groups is when you act in this way. It's when you choose to humble yourself before God. It's a place to grow. The Bible tells us as children of God, desire God's word so you might grow. Life change happens in the context of relationships. And I want to encourage every one of you to make that step. Be yourself. Take off the mask. Let's love one another. let's not have this area that we can't help people through and this one we can't. Why don't we just love one another? Why don't we just fight through life together? Why don't we serve one another? Small groups is a place where you might make the best friend of your life. Physical obedience brings spiritual reward. I want to pray over you today and all of us as we humble ourselves before God. And as we enter into this new year, I pray if you haven't jumped into prayer and fasting with us, start tomorrow. Just do it. Start, just take a step. I'm telling you, something amazing happens in your life when you physically obey God. It releases supernatural grace that will go into every corner of your life. Don't do life without Him. Don't do life without His grace, and don't do life alone. I want to encourage every one of us, connect and get in a small group. It's life-changing, and I know God has a plan for you. I want you to stand together with me, and we're going to just go into the presence of God for a moment. And I want you, this is the part of the service where God, now listen, God Himself can do something. He's alive. I mean, God Himself can do something in you. He can speak to your heart. He can literally cause your body that is sick to be made healed. We are in the presence of God, and we are trusting Him to manifest His presence right now. And let's humble ourselves in His presence. Let's be reverent before God and honor His presence. And God, Father God, what do you want to do in me right now? What is it that you can do in this room right now that 10,000 years of human effort would never fulfill in my life? And so in the name of Jesus, Father, we as a choice today, as an act of surrender, you know the Bible says to lift up hands, holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. Now, if you're not a believer, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a child of God, I want to encourage you. The Bible said lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm not a hand raiser. I would suggest to you, if He said do it, then do it. Don't ask, well, that's not my gig. His gig is your gig. Success is obedience. The lifting of hands is an act of surrender. And so put yourself in the physical posture, if you would, with me, of lifting your hands as an act of surrender to Him, a choice of obedience and humility. And we lift up our hands, and Father, we make a great exchange. We exchange our ways for your ways, our thoughts for your thoughts. We put you first. We humble ourselves in your presence, and we lift up our hands as an act of surrender. And I thank you for the exchange. My ability for yours, my power for yours, that this physical choice to obey you, to honor you, to step into the place of prayer and fasting, to step into the place of getting together with other believers in a small group and growing spiritually and protecting one another and connecting to one another. Physical obedience brings spiritual reward. We humble ourselves. That 2019 would not be the year of we figuring out how to make our lives better, but we humbling ourselves before you, and your grace, your divine ability goes into every corner of our life. And you said, if we humble ourselves, you would lift us up. And so, Father, I humble myself in your presence. And I consecrate and dedicate my heart to you. I will put you first in my week. I will assemble myself with other believers. It's not an option to put you first. I put you first in my money. I put you first in my time. I put you first in all things. You are preeminent in all things. I honor that, and I stand in reverence of you. And I thank you that the angel of the Lord encamps around about me as I reverence you to deliver me. That you are my God. You are my rock. You are my fortress. And 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. It shall not come near to me. You've given your angels charge over me, that they would literally gather me up in their hands. Thank you for your faithfulness. Now, right where you are before God, as the worship team sings this, you sing with them as an act of worship and praise, but I want you out of your own mouth to speak your consecration to God, to say, I humble myself before you, Father, that you might exalt me in due time. I honor you. Let's worship Him together just for a moment. Let's reverence Him. Let's worship Him. Father, I thank you for your presence. in this room. Holy means that you are set apart. There is none like you. We humble ourselves. Holy are you. We reverence you. You are our God. We're not just your servants. We are your sons and your daughters. Oh, the price you paid to bring us into your family. We humble ourselves. Everything I am, I lay at your feet. Lord, I keep nothing back. Every broken place in my life, every area where I fight and struggle to be Christ-like, I lay it at your feet. Where I feel helpless, where I feel weak, where I feel strong, I lay it all before you. And I exalt you and I reverence you. I worship you. I worship you. As was last night, as we were worshiping God, the same thing came up in my heart for you. Please listen. This is how God works by His Spirit. Please let him minister to you right now. The manifestations and gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit are when God by His Spirit will do things in a corporate environment that are amazing. What He spoke in my heart was this simply. So many are living in a prison of shame. A prison of shame. That when you hear about the ability to move forward to God or to make these decisions, shame draws you back. Shame so easily can take the form of pride, where you begin to find the reasons why you can justify your shame and isolate yourself and live in a certain way. But shame doesn't tell you you did something wrong. Shame tells you there's something wrong with you. Shame doesn't say that what they did to me hurt me and literally devastated me. Shame says what they did to me defines me. I am what they did to me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus wants to define who you are. He wants you to understand, listen, that you are living in a prison house of shame, that the door is open, and He wants to enter into that cell today and get you out forever. Forever, forever, forever to come out. He doesn't define you from your past. Your yesterdays are gone. What defines you is a Savior. He said, you are accepted by me. You are completed by me. You are loved by me. God says over you, I have called you no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like. This is what humility says. Lord, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what this prison house of shame has said, no matter what I've experienced, no matter what my circumstances say, I will humble myself and honor you because you say of me, I will say of me that I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. God says that in His word about you. And everything I set my hand to, you will prosper. That I can dwell in your secret place. I can abide under your shadow. That you don't reject me. You love me. And you love me while I was yet dead in my sins. You died for me when I had nothing to offer you. And you came and you rescued me. You've given your angels charge over me. I dwell in your presence. I stand as a son and a daughter of a living God. And my Father, the Father Himself, loves me. He wants to speak to me, through me, and in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And He said, by that same Spirit, I will quicken your mortal body or animate your mortal body by the Spirit of God that lives in you. As many as are the children of God, He said, they are the sons of God, they are. I want to lead them and guide them by my Spirit. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He doesn't want you to live in that prison house of shame. And I'm going to pray in a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you today, that shame of it's defined you. I don't care if it's something that you did or something done to you, but when you try to make a step toward God, it says you hear the prison door shut. Not for you. Not for you. And you want to walk out of that prison. You want those walls to crumble. I want you to acknowledge me between you and God. This isn't about anybody around you. Let God, by the power of His Spirit, do something in your life to change it forever. You don't want to raise kids in a prison of shame. You can only give your family what you have. Oh God, help us not to raise our families and expose our families to the generational prisons. Help us to teach our children, our grandchildren, those we love, how to walk out of the prisons of our past. He died to make us free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd say, I'm in that prison. And I want God to literally break those walls today. And I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to walk out of that prison and trust Him today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, including those of you watching online, just right before God, between you and God, just simply raise your hand and just and acknowledge before God, I humble myself in your presence. I receive what you have for me today. I will not live in this prison another day. I will not live in this prison another day. You will lead me and guide me and direct me. And then I want all of us to join them and lift both of your hands now as an act of surrender, and we'll do it with you. Because can I tell you, all of us have things that try to imprison us. Father, I pray now that by the power of your Spirit, you would sweep this room. Holy Spirit, move in this place and bring what words have been spoken, and you are the teacher. Bring that understanding to their heart and bring the freedom that comes. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray your power to fall in this room upon people, a freedom and a release and a peace, as the lies of shame fall before the truth of our God, a freedom that they may have never known, that they have never known, that they leave here for the first time in that type of freedom, a 1,000-pound weight off their shoulders. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your healing power to physical bodies in this room, that you would manifest your healing power across this room, manifest your love, and bring healing to people, whether it be minor or major. You are the healer. We pray, we expect our God in our everyday life to manifest his presence. Father, thank you for that. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as we remain standing in reverence before God, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you're not certain if you died now where you'd spend eternity. You know, Jesus said there's a heaven. Jesus said there's a hell. He paid a debt that you couldn't pay. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus. Not, and that includes any church, any denomination, including this one. No church, no sacrament of a church can make you right with God, including this one. Only Jesus. Have you acknowledged that you are sin-stained and need a Savior? Well, I go to church and I've been baptized. That's wonderful. But God did not send a building and he did not send a pond. He sent a man, his own son, to pay a debt that you could not pay. Please understand that our sins will be paid for when we die. We will pay for them ourselves, or we will receive the payment that God's Son made on our behalf, but they will be paid for. This is your opportunity to receive the free gift of eternal life that comes through a Savior. You don't earn this. It's freely given. So if you're here today and you don't know if this was your last day on earth and you were to slip into an eternity where you would spend it, you believe he is the Son of God. He died on that cross for your sins, buried and rose from the dead. You desire to receive Christ into your life. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're standing. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Just simply raise your hand high. Just acknowledge it before God. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Just take that step right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No one's embarrassing you. You're not going to be singled out. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. This includes those of you online that are watching. You can put your hands back down. I want you to pray out loud where you hear it, and we're going to pray it with you. Jesus will come into your life, and he'll make you his own. Your sin debt will be canceled, and you will be a child of God, and you'll be heaven-bound when you die because of the Savior. Pray it where you hear it as we pray it together with you. Say it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. I am heaven bound. And I confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.